Olav Chavisavicha Arat Asher Areka. So in Perkei Avos, so we're told that Avram Avinu was nisnase with Asar Nisyonos. 10 tests were given to Avram Avinu. And the Rambam says that this was the first. Rav Yonah says it's the second, but the Rambam says this was the first of his tests. Lech lecha me'artzecha. That he has to leave his homeland. And the question is, why was this really such a hard test for Avram? In fact, from a certain perspective, this probably wasn't a test at all. This wasn't challenging at all. The Medrash says that we're all familiar with the famous story of Avram when he snuck into his father's house or into his father's shop, his idol shop, and he smashed all the idols. So, in Avram's hometown, Avram Avinu was a persona non grata. Nobody liked him. Nobody was interested in him. He was trying to start up with the accepted practices, destroying the idols that they worshipped. He was a troublemaker, and nobody liked him. So, if you're hated in your hometown, and I tell you it's time to leave, so that's not a challenge. That's probably what you're waiting for. You want to get out of there. Nobody likes you. In addition, the Al-Sheikh notes that there were so many things promised to Avram Avinu here in the beginning of the Parsha. Right? Rashi helps to define for us what some of these brachos were. But he tells us, the Pasuk tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, I'm going to give you children. You're going to have your children. You're going to have a lot of money. People are going to bless their children using your name. So, if I told you here, you're in a hometown, everybody hates you. But if you leave, you'll become wealthy. You'll become famous. You'll have a beautiful family. So, where's the nisayon here? Why is this a nisayon for him to leave a place where he's hated in order to go someplace where he's going to get tremendous bracha? So there's an interesting perspective that's developed by some of the Mefarshim that dafka was the challenge. The challenge was to go because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him and not because of all those reasons. That was the challenge. Etzem leaving the Fertile Crescent was not the challenge of Avram Avinu. To go to Eretz Yisrael and to leave a place where he was hated in order to get brachos, that wasn't the challenge. The challenge was to leave and to not do it because of all of these reasons. That perhaps is meduyak ma'od in the psukim, because the pasuk says, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises everything, it says to him, go, leave your land. So what does the pasuk say? Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. That he went Kasher Dibur Elav Hashem. He didn't go for the money. He didn't go for the name. He didn't go because he was hated. He went, why? Because of the Dibur, because of the commandment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, if you take a look in the Or HaChaim, the Or HaChaim takes the Diyuk and he just makes it a little bit more. He notes the verbs being used. In the beginning of the Parsha, it says, Vayomer Hashem El Avram, Amira. He informed Avram of all the great reasons to go. And we know that Amira is a Lashon Raka. It's a softer Lashon. If you're trying to convince someone to do something, you can either, if you have a child, you can either tell your kid, like, get into your room, or you could try to teach your child why it's a good idea to go into your room right now. It doesn't always work. Sometimes you have to end up saying, all right, listen, just go into your room. But Amira is when you try to speak softly, to explain the higayon, the logic behind something. Dibur is a commandment. So, very interesting. Listen to the way the psukim work. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Avram." Hashem said to him, not commanded. He said, "Come on, go. It's worth it. I'm going to give you great things. Everybody hates you here anyway." And then, what does the pasuk say? "Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem." He didn't go because of the amira. Rather, why did he go? Because of the dibur. Dibor is a Lashon Koshet, it's a Tzivoy, it's a commandment. Avram Avinu recognized all the great things that he would get, and yet he was still able to go only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him. And therefore, the Oyv Yisrael points out, all of the haftachos that Hashem threw in, all of the promises, you're going to get a great name, all of those were just mosif al hanisayon. They made it harder for him to go lishma. By telling him, you're going to go, you're going to get great things. So it was easy for him to go and to say, like, this is amazing, this is so worth it. And this is a very, very fine point in Avodas Hashem. And I'm going to admit to you that it's a challenge, and it's, I might be holding you to a very high level by sharing this with you, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. I think that I could definitely make an argument to you that it's worth it to pursue a life of Torah and mitzvos purely for yourself. Why? Because the Torah is absolute emes. So when you follow the Torah, you end up having the most amazing geshmak life in the world. If you live a Torah lifestyle, you're going to end up being not self-centered, hopefully. You're going to be humble. And you know how amazing it is to be humble and to be not self-centered? If you're not, if you're conceited, if you're jealous of other people, if you're driven by taiva, if you're driven by kavod, you know how you spend your life? You're looking at other people's wives and other people's money, and you're never happy with what you have, and you're critical of other people, and you're always judgmental of other people because of your own self-esteem issues. And it ends up that you end up living a very miserable life. And you end up spending your whole day in the office from morning until late at night because your whole focus in life is in order to make a lot of money. What kind of life is that? And you know what? If you live a life of humility and you're samech b'chelko and you have all the beautiful midos of Torah, so then you spend time at home, you spend time with your children. If you work on your kas, then your relationship with your children is not one of yelling, but it's one of love. And there's so many positive reasons to live a life of Avodas Hashem. It is the absolute best life that there is. A Shabbos meal, your family sitting singing, and everyone's getting along, and a Mirtz Hashem, your kid's not a drug addict, and you get along well with your wife, and you don't look at other people's women because and your wives, and you're happy with your relationship with your wife. What an amazing, beautiful lifestyle. And you have grandchildren and nachas. And yet, as rewarding as religious life is, ultimately, on a very, very deep level, that's not why we do it. The reason we do it, the Rambam writes, and here he's describing Avram Avinu, and that's why I'm talking about it, because it emerges from this hara that we have here of the Or HaChaim, in order to answer the questions. The Rambam writes in the very end of Hilchos Tshuva, why should a person serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And he says something that, again, holds us to a very, very high level, but, you know, we need to speak the truth. Says the Rambam in the 10th parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Al Yomar Adam, Harini Osa Mitzvah Sator V'Osek B'Chachmasa, I will live a life of Torah, Kidei She'akabel Kol HaBrachos HaKsuvos Ba, in order so that I can get all of the promises. Or even, listen to this, Kidei She'ezke L'Chayol Maba. How many times have you heard people say, do the mitzvahs because you'll get Olam Haba. Olam Haba, it's the greatest thing out there. What do you mean it's the greatest thing out there? That's why we do mitzvahs? Let me ask you a question. When you're a little kid, why'd you do things? Because someone promised you a candy. And then when you're a little older, why'd you do things? Because someone promised you, baseball cards. And then when you're 17, why do you do something? Because someone promises you a car. And then when you're 30, why do you do things? Because you want to get success in business. And when you're 50, why do you do things? Because you want to be famous. Say that when you're a little kid and I'm going to offer you something good to eat. So you might say, I want candy. Hopefully now by this age, you're not interested in candy. Now you might say, like, I want like a good hamburger, good piece of steak. When you're like 40, then already you say, like, I'll have some salmon and a bottle of wine. All of that is really stemming from the same place. I'm trying to fulfill my desires. It's just that as I get older, so my desires sophisticate. So I'm not interested in candy anymore. Now I want salmon. I'm not interested in toys. I want cars. But it's just a more sophisticated version of what you want. So what happens if you identify that Olam Haba is the greatest thing out there? And it's eternal? And I'm doing it for Olam Haba, I'm doing it for Olam Haba? So isn't that also just a more sophisticated version of you trying to fulfill what's best for you? And you can argue on this, and you could say, no, Olam Haba by definition is different than just a car. because by definition it's kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not really self-serving in the same way that a car is. And that's an interesting philosophic discussion not to get into right now. But the Rambam says explicitly, we don't live a Torah lifestyle because it's the greatest lifestyle. It is. But that's not why we do it. We don't do it because it's going to get us Olam Haba. It will get us Olam Haba, but that's not why we do it. Rather, why do we do it? He says, Ein roi la'avodas Hashem al derech hazeh. Rather, reason why we serve Hashem, remember this phrase for the rest of your life, says the Rambam, Ela osa ha'emes mipnei shehu emes v'sof hatova lavo biglala. We do the emes because it's emes. It's a tremendous bracha from Hashem that a Torah lifestyle is also rewarding. And is also, right, I tell the guys in my shir all the time, learning Gemara is never going to be fun like a video game. It's just a different, if you're sitting here waiting, like, when am I going to like say, like, video games were fun at a certain point, but now at Tosfos, it's just, that's my new video game. Video games are different, and they're always going to have a certain fun of video games you're not going to have from learning. But learning is meaningful, and it's ennobling, and it gives us, it's an experience that's deep and that's meaningful. And the Rambam says, it's true, there will be schar, sof hatova lovo. Hatova will come. But the reason we do it is because osa emes v'pnei shehu emes. We do what's right because it's right. And even if the result is not amazing, and Baruch Hashem it is, and that helps, but we do what's right because it's right. Even if sometimes we don't immediately see the result being amazing. And that's what the Rambam says. Umaylazu, he mayla gedola ma'od. It's a tremendous level. Ve'ein kol chacham zachal lezeh. He doesn't say ein kol adam. Not everybody gets to this level. Ein kol chacham. Even of the chachamim, not everybody reaches this level. And this is the mayla of Avram Avinu, who's called the Oav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, V'ato Yisrael avdi Yaakov, asher bacharti b'charticha, Zera Avram Oavi, the children, the progeny of Avram, my Ohev, the one who loved me and the one I love. Avram Avinu is the quintessential Ohev of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's the ultimate sign of Ava? You do what's right because it's right, even if you're not going to get a reward. And I'll give you a mashal, a ma'adavar doma, which I think will bring it home. In your life, who do you think is going to be the person you're going to love the most in your entire life? So your wife is a good suggestion, but I would argue it's a different type of love, the love between a husband and wife and a love to children. But there is a certain intensity of love between a parent and child that comes immediately, that's unparalleled. And I'm telling you, Mirtz Hashem, you'll all be married soon and you all have children, and it'll be 2 o'clock in the morning, and your snotty-nosed child who has a cold is going to be sitting crying in its crib, and it's going to be covered and crying, and you're going to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're not going to wake up because it's cute and the baby's going to smile at you and it's going to go goo goo goo, and you're not going to get up because you know one day the kid's going to remember this and he won't put you in an old age home because you helped him when he was 6 months old, crying in the crib. He's never going to remember this. I know we can start arguing like, no, like subconsciously, he's going to remember it. Okay, let's talk on a regular conscious level. The child is not going to remember what you did when it was 6 months old. So how come you get out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and you wipe its nose and change its diaper? For only one reason. Because you love it and it's the right thing to do. You're not getting anything in return. Even if your wife doesn't kick you and say, get out of bed and go get the child. The reason you do it is because you're osa ha'emes v'pnei shehu emes. Because it's the right thing to do. Because if a child is crying, not because, again, you're going to start getting all psychological on me. No, it's because you're going to feel guilt if you don't do it. And therefore, you're really doing it in order to make yourself happy, because if not, you'd feel guilt. I don't buy that. You do it because it's right. And there are certain things we do in life, osa ha'emes v'pnei shehu emes. And this is the midah of Avram Avinu. This is what Antigonus Yisocho tells us, that we're supposed in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, that we're not serving Hashem al menas lekabel pras. There will be pras. That's not why we do it.
The Sefer Chassidim takes this line of the Rambam and he sharpens it even a little bit more. Remember, the Rambam wrote, Oso ha'emes mitnei shehu emes, because Torah is true. It says in Sefer Chassidim, Oso ha'emes mitnei shehakadosh baruch hu emes. He switches the Rambam's who from the Torah to Hashem. The reason we do it is because we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate emes. And therefore, this perhaps is pshat in the nisyonos to Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu had a nisayon, because to go and to leave and to go to Eretz Yisrael had all of the milas. He was hated back home, he was going to get bracha, and yet Avram did it. Why? Kasher diber Hashem. Because of the promise, because that the fact that Hashem said it. The fact that Hashem said it meant that he wanted to do it. Okay, that's our number one for today. Our number two. Something very important for the beginning of his man. Let me note something strange in the Pesukim. Pesuk says to Avram, you should go. And then it says in Pasuk Dalid, Vayelech Avram Kasher Diber Elav Hashem. That was the Pasuk we just quoted. And then Pasuk Hey, Vayikach Avram Es Sarah Yishto V'yas Lot Ben Achiv V'yas Kol Rechushem Asher Rechashu V'yas Anefesh Asher Asu Becharon. Avram took his wife and his nephew Lot and all of their property, and Yetsu Vayelchu Eretz Kanan, and they left in order to go to Eretz Kanan. What's strange about these Pesukim? Anyone pick up on a seeming redundancy? Again, listen to the Pesukim. Aleph, Beis, and Gimel are, go, you'll get lots of bracha. Pesuk Dalet, Vayelech Avram Kasher Diber Elav Hashem. What does that mean?
Go.
Avram went, like Hashem said. Now Pesuk Hey, Vayikach Avram Esarei Yishto V'Yaslot Ben Achiv. Avram took his wife and his nephew and their stuff, and they left in order to go to Eretz Yisrael. What's strange here? It says the same thing twice. Right? What's pshat? First it says they went, and then it says, oh, he got all his stuff together and he went. So, in the Sefer Sichos Bavodas Hashem, he quotes, I don't remember who he quotes from, but he quotes there, maybe it's the Orachaim. Anyway, he quotes there a very important message that I'd like to just develop for a minute or two. The message that he says we learn from this pasuk is that there is a tremendous koach called the koach of reishis, beginning. And it's important for a person to jump on that when they have the inspiration. It says Hashem said to go. So the pasuk tells us, what did it say? He went. Then the Torah says, okay, well, hold on. Actually, he got his stuff together and he went. So why does the Torah tell us and waste the pasuk, quote unquote, in order to tell us that he went, in order to tell us that as soon as there's a tzivui, you go. You jump at it. Right away. You don't procrastinate. When you're inspired, you go. Now, it's true. Going means getting your stuff together. But if the Torah would have just said he got his stuff together, you think of it like, all right, he heard Hashem. He went to sleep. The next morning, he had an omelet. And then that afternoon, he started to, you know, pack his stuff. And he said goodbye. No, the Torah tells us, as soon as he heard it, he went right away. And this is a very, very important message. Certainly, like when you're starting a zman, and sometimes we say, let me ease myself into it. Don't ease yourself into it. Jump in. Grab that koach of reishis. Start strong. Right? We all know that in races, sometimes the winner is just defined by who gets that initial start. Right? Like when you're like a little kid, sometimes you like, sometimes you're like, and the teacher's like, get back on the line, right? You're like inching forward. Or like you wait as you see like the cheeks blow up with air to blow the whistle, you're already starting to run. Because you know, like that little second, and they even talk about like in races, about how a racer's ability to make that initial, I don't know what it's called, that initial burst, there, whatever it's called. So that sometimes is what defines the winner of a race. But I think this is very important in Avodas Hashem as well. You know, you'll be at a Shabbaton, or you'll be at a Sichos Musar. And let's say you're at Sichos Musar, and the person giving the Musar Shmuz gives a whole speech about not speaking Lashon Hara. Sometimes we walk out of there, we're very inspired, and we say, wow, I'm going to not speak Lashon Hara ever again. And what happens the next morning? We roll out of bed with a nice piece of juicy Lashon Hara to tell our roommate. What do you mean? What happens to the inspiration? What happened is that inspiration dissipates. You can't live your life based on inspiration. What do you need to do? whenever there's inspiration, you need at that moment to act on the inspiration. Someone has an inspiration that they don't want to speak Lashon Hara, right away. Let's say right now I speak about Lashon Hara, and you're inspired to not speak Lashon Hara. So then at 9:46, when we're done here, you get up, you turn to Derek, and you say, you want to set up a Chavrusa and Shemiras HaLashon? Let's do 5 minutes after Shacharis. Let's do 5 minutes before Shacharis. Let's do 5 minutes after Maariv. Because you got to jump on an inspiration. You can't say, that's a good idea. No speaking Lashon Hara. But think about how to implement that. Maybe tomorrow I'll call someone and set up a Chavrusa. If you say maybe tomorrow, so the Ikar is maybe. Because it's not going to happen. If you're inspired, you need to act on it immediately. Translate it. And therefore, that's what we see from Avram. Hashem gave him an inspiration. Go. And right away, he went. Because when we push off inspiration, it doesn't happen. And that, I think, is another message from this week's Parsha. All right, let me maybe share with you one more idea on the Parsha. One more point. Okay. We all know, in the history of Avram Avinu, even though the beginning of the Parsha introduces us to Avram Avinu, he's mentioned at the end of Parshas Noach, but we're told, "Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha me'uladecha me'beis avicha l'aretz asher areka." Very good. So, we're told about Avram and this big test, lech lecha. And we all know that there's a backstory here that we're not being told. The whole story of the Kibshan Ha'esh, he was thrown into the fire, he was willing to stand up and to be Moser Nefesh for his belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was challenged, he was thrown into a fire, gave up his life, and he was saved miraculously. Why is that story not in the Chumash? Isn't that an important message? Isn't that an inspirational story? Why is it tucked away in a Medrash somewhere? Why does the Torah begin with Avram after he's already a put together successful guy? Let's hear a little bit of development here. You know, he grew up, he looked at the stars, he found God. He was thrown into a fire. So why is the story of the Kibshan Ha'esh left out? And I want to give two suggestions. The first suggestion I will make, based on a story that I heard here in Eretz Yisrael, there was an attempted terrorist attack a bunch of years ago on a bus. A terrorist walked onto the bus, and right away the bus driver recognized from the way he was dressed and the clothing, and he recognized right away that he had some type of, or he suspected he had some type of explosive belt on him. As the door opened and he started to walk on, the bus driver quickly threw the bus into park. He jumped out of his seat, threw the guy out of the bus, held him down on the floor and screamed to everyone, get out, go, run, run. And everybody ran away. And then he was able to hold the guy's arms, prevent him from detonating the bomb. And they came and they arrested the guy, and sure enough, he had a belt on him. Wow, that's a hero. So they interviewed him, and they asked him, like, what were you thinking in those moments when you, like, saw him? Like, where'd that courage come from? Like, if you recognize, maybe you should just, like, run. Forget it, you know, run right past him. Like, as he's coming on the bus, you know, you run right away. What were you thinking that you jumped on him? And the bus driver said, I'll be totally honest with you, I was not thinking. If I was thinking, I would not have done that. I would have ran away. I would have let him come on, I would have ran away and saved myself. He said, but I wasn't thinking, and that's why I did it. And what was that very honest bus driver saying? I think that honest bus driver was saying something very, very important. And I'm not downplaying what he did at all. At trying times, often people somehow find an inner strength to step up to the plate at big moments. There are people who find within themselves, in the heat of the moment, the ability to become a hero and to step in like that and to save people. However, that is not the ingredient to true greatness in Avodas Hashem. The real greatness comes from calculated decisions to live your life in a particular way. He's a hero, and I'm not taking away at all from his heroism. But many of us, when we're stuck in a situation, will stand up to the challenge. On a certain level, and it's almost a little bit counterintuitive, on a certain level, it's even more heroic, it's even more challenging to be able to consistently do what you know is right, as opposed to in a specific moment. And I would suggest maybe that Avram Avinu, the fact that at the moment of the Kibshan Aish, he was able to throw himself into the fire and to sacrifice himself, that's heroism. But that's not what makes a person great. And they actually have studies. There are people who have stood up and done heroic things and then gone back to living a very mundane, average life without all the heroicism. Meaning, they might stand up once and save someone's life and put someone else's life in front of their own, but then they go back to their regular life where they don't put other people's lives in front of them and that they live a more self-centered, self-focused life. What do you mean? But they were this hero. How'd they do that? And the answer is that to be able to do something once, as heroic as it is, you can sometimes find within yourself the strength and the koach to be able to do something once. But to be able to consistently do something day in, day out, because you've decided that this is MS, this is true, that's something that's much more challenging. So the fact that Avram was able to jump into the Kibshan HaEish at that heat of the moment, that's one thing. But when Hashem says to him, Lech Lecha, leave everything, start new, and he has to sit there and he has to think, Avram, he has to say, am I ready to do this? Am I ready to step up? Am I ready to change my life? You know, you could step up in a moment and do something very, very tremendous religiously. You can make a sacrifice for Hashem. But can you make that decision to come to Shacharis every day on time? To really choose a profession that gives you time to learn? And you're going to be home by 6, and you'll be able to go do homework with your kids. You'll be able to have a chavrusa at night. Can you make that decision to say, you know what? It's not only about having the killer job. There's also other values that I want to make sure are part of my lifestyle. Listen, I'm not here to judge anyone. Sometimes communities we live in, certain expenses that we have, there's an onus. What can you do? You need to work so many hours. How else can I pay for tuition and to pay for, you know, my kids to go to camp, which is important. That's why I'm not here specifically on that example. But I know people who had to make those types of decisions between taking a job that made a little bit less money but offered a different quality of life, a religious quality of life. To make that decision on a certain level is a lot more heroic than to be willing to jump into a fire. Because that's calculated. You're thinking it out. You're not just reacting in a moment. And maybe that's why the Torah starts with the Nisayon of Lech Lecha. Because Avram had to make a decision for a direction in life. Am I going to leave my hometown? And am I going to go and start fresh for religious ideals? And that's a much harder decision on a certain level than to jump into a fire. I'll add one last point and we'll conclude with this. Maybe there's another message with starting with Lech Lecha, not starting with the Kibshan HaEish. And that is that a person has to keep being focused on future goals and live in the present and not just live in the past. Maybe the Torah wanted to tell us or introduce us to Avram after an accomplishment, but leaving out the accomplishment in order to tell us that an Oved Hashem has to always be looking further, weiter. He can't say like, well, you know what? When I was in Shana Aleph, I was really stark, I learned a lot. Right, so I'm going to cruise off of that for the rest of my life. And I'll look back and I'll say, you know, when I was in yeshiva, I was really a serious guy. No, you have to keep going forward. You have to keep pushing. Rav Moshe Feinstein makes this ha'ara. The pasuk says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is sonei a matzeva. He loves a mizbeach, but he doesn't like a matzeva. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said homiletically that a matzeva nowadays means a plaque, as opposed to a mizbeach is a place where you're oved Hashem. You bring karbanos. He said maybe the idea Hashem doesn't like a matzeva. Because what, you're going to get back, you got like, Ben Torah of the Year Award in Shalavim. So you come home, you put the plaque up on your wall, and the rest of your life, so you know you don't really learn so much, you don't really daven so much, but you always got the plaque to look at and remember like, I once really accomplished really well. And unfortunately you have people like that, you know, like they're like 10 years out of high school, and still all they're talking about is like, when I was in high school, I was an amazing basketball player. Oh my gosh, let me tell you about this game. It's senior year, and it's like, hello, you're 25 years old. Hopefully there are other things you're accomplishing in your life as opposed to like high school basketball when you were 14. But a lot of people, they make accomplishments and they're looking backwards all the time. And we're supposed to take our accomplishments but use them to propel us to keep going. And therefore, it doesn't start with Or Kostim. It starts with Lech Lecha to tell us, you know what? We're going to leave out Or Kostim because Or Kostim doesn't matter anymore. There's a new challenge ahead. And don't say, you know, at this time I'm going to give in because, you know, I did a lot of sacrifices for God already. No, what was, and that's great. And every mitzvah you do is banked for nitzchias, and it's you're gonna get the schar for it, and that's beautiful. But we have to keep focused on going forward, as we see new challenges, to be able to rise to those occasions. And that perhaps is the pshat here. A real ben aliyah is a person. We say to a person to go mechayil el chayil, to go from one strength to the next strength. If you accomplished yesterday, that's amazing, but accomplish today as well. We should be realizing that each day brings another challenge, and Amir Hashem, we should all be zochet to go mechayil el chayil and to really, really, truly be b'nei aliyah. Have a great Shabbos, guys.